have your Pew Bible with you this morning, you can pull it out. We're going to go to Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 this morning. I noticed that I have two other verses on here this morning, but I'm going to hold those and read those in the message this morning. And so I'm going to have you pull your Bibles out again to look at the verses out of Luke and John. We are in our fourth title here this morning of the Prince of Peace. Notice the name has been added. I think it's right here in the middle. That sits up above there. Our fourth one. And of course, tonight we learn about the gifts that God brings through Jesus Christ. But today we take time to learn about what this meaning of peace really is in our lives. And what does that look like for you and I? And so we'll begin there today. So let's turn to the word of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establish and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then keep your Bibles handy as we turn to those later scriptures here in a little bit. Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this peace that we celebrate this morning is different than what the world will ever offer us, Lord. And so I pray for those that have gathered here today and those that are listening online, that your Spirit will speak to them in a new, fresh way, that they understand this meaning of peace that you have come to give us on this Christmas day, Lord. We rejoice with you at your birth. Lord, so I just pray for a blessing upon our service. May you fill me with your Spirit, that these words would be yours and never mine. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. I have four different definitions or meanings of peace from different people groups throughout the world that I want to share with you this morning. And so here's the first one. And by no means do I have all these pronunciations down correct, so bear with me on these people groups. But the Payo tribal people of Peru, the word peace means a well-arranged soul. To the Zacapaxtola people of Mexico, peace means completeness. To the Biapo people of Liberia, it means my heart sits down. And to the Bioli people or Boli people of Ivory Coast, it means a song in my body. Peace. The well-arranged soul, completeness, my heart sits down, a song in my body. Those are great pictures of peace, aren't they? You can relate to some of those, especially I love the one where it says a well-arranged soul, that you have your life in order, not complete order, but before God, understanding who you are maybe. Maybe you come here a little messy this morning, and that's okay, because God's peace overcomes all of those things. For the past 3 weeks, we've been studying these different words. I'm going to invite you just for a moment to look around at these words that are above you in the sanctuary today that we've studied and hopefully brought deeper meaning to you as you worship throughout this Advent season. A Wonderful Counselor. Think back to those messages for just a moment of what you learned about this Wonderful Counselor. A mighty, mighty God. An everlasting Father. And we talked about what does that mean that he's always there. And today it's the Prince of Peace. So we reach this climax in our discussions, our promises that God made to us, that in darkness he would send us the Prince of Peace to such a broken world. And so this is what we're going to get into today. Prince of Peace, I want to give you the Hebrew definition again this morning that brings more depth to it, more understanding. And you guys are going to recognize this word as we've talked about it throughout church. If you've been growing up in the church, you'll recognize this word, at least the last half of this word. He wrote, of course, you know that Isaiah wrote in the native language of Hebrew. And the name for Prince of Peace is Sar Shalom. You guys are familiar with the word shalom, but this time it's Sar Shalom. Jesus is our Sar Shalom. And here's the definition of Sar and what it actually means. It's the word for prince. Now, when you think of prince, well, the son of the king, right? we might understand that. But this one goes a little bit different direction, a little bit deeper meaning this morning that I want you to take home with you. Sar is actually the head person. Never is Jesus Christ lower than God the Father or maybe above the Holy Spirit, but the Trinity is equal in all aspects. This Sar is the head person. It's the captain or the governor, the man in charge. He's the go-to God person. Now, think about history for a moment. You think about the Roman Empire and the things that went on, especially in Jesus' day. They had a very similar word they called the Caesar. Now, you will get it when I bring these names to you. Julius Caesar, right? Caesar. Augustus Caesar. Nero Caesar. You understand now the Hebrew language. And now you can also take it to our modern day. We not only have it here in our country, but the Russian government has what they call leaders of different people groups. They call them a what? A czar. Yeah. And you might even hear the name in our government today where people are appointed to different factions of government and they're in control of this area. And we call them a czar as well today. But this is where this word comes from today. And then we come to the word shalom. It's the word for peace. And in the Hebrew language, it is very rich. It is deep to you and I this morning. It's a powerful concept of peace that is far-reaching, hard to grasp, hard to understand. But when you have it, you will know it in your life through Jesus Christ. Shalom. And so Isaiah's promise today is Sar Shalom to all of us during this Christmas season. And so today I'm going to share with you a few ways that Jesus brought peace from Scripture, from the Bible. We're going to read those stories in just a little bit. But do you remember, and I'm going to jog your memory here just a little bit this morning. Do you remember what the angel said when they announced Jesus' birth? Luke 2 verse 14, the Christmas story, which we'll dig into that tonight. And here's what it says. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what to men? Peace. Peace to men on whom his favor rests. And then it goes on in that Christmas story where Mary begins to talk and they ponder. And so Luke 2 verse 19. Now look at this verse for just a moment with me this morning. Mary treasured up all these things and she pondered them in her heart. How many of you ever stopped at that verse and wondered, What is she doing, right? What is she processing? What is she thinking of? What's going through her mind when she understands this story and the birth of Jesus whom she carried? I think that when the Bible says that she pondered them and she treasured them up in her heart, that she's experiencing the peace of Jesus Christ in her heart, in her soul. It was rich, is what the Bible is telling us here this morning. A sense of well-being, a sense of joy, of happiness in her life. Jesus brought peace at his birth. It's the first one I want to share with you this morning. So how did he bring peace at his birth? Because he knew what we would go through in this life. He lived it for 30-some years. He experienced it as a child. He grew up in this world that you and I live in, but much harsher conditions. He didn't have a Keurig to get a warm cup of coffee in the morning, right? Much harsher conditions. He experienced hunger. He experienced tiredness. He experienced disappointment. He even experienced family, right? He learned a trade. He was a carpenter like his father. He earned a living. He made friends. He celebrated birthdays. How many of you would enjoy it? How many people do we have here have their birthday on Christmas Day? Somebody does, I know. You'll probably see it. Go home and read your newsletter. You'll find it. Some of you have a birthday today, right? Christ's birthday was on Christmas Day. Of course, they didn't celebrate yet back then, but that would come about. But the point is this morning that he went through many of the same things that you and I go through today in this world. He lost loved ones as well. Jesus knew and he understood the turmoil he would face. And he delivered us from that this morning, from the manger to the cross. And so I want to tell you this morning that in this life, you're going to experience some terrible things. That's a known. You're no different than the unbeliever is going to be. But the way that you react, the way that you can live that out, is the key that I want to talk to you about this morning, about the peace of Jesus Christ that he'll bring to you in this life that you can't find in this world, that so many people are searching for today. Many. In our communities, maybe within our families. Just look throughout the world at the unrest that goes on. I want you to turn to the book of John with me this morning, chapter 2, and I want to read to you Jesus' first miracle. If you're with me, open your Bible this morning. Let's take just a moment to do that. John chapter, what did I tell you, 2? All right, notice the heading. What's his first miracle? Yep, exactly. Now I want you to watch the people that are around this, okay? What they are feeling. Notice, pay attention to his mom, all right? Now think about your own family situations. If you're throwing this family wedding and things begin to happen, they run out of wine, notice, I'm going to call it, people start to vibrate, all right? Now notice what takes place here. Look at the guests and how Jesus handles this. Look at the peace that he brings, all right? And then we'll unpack this a little bit more when we talk about this. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Can you about imagine how that would have gone? They have no more wine. And then notice he says to her, "Woman," and I want you to know that in that day, when Jesus spoke to his mom that way, that was very appropriate. Now today, that would maybe be a little bit offensive, wouldn't it? If he said, "Woman," right? But that's not, in the day, that was very acceptable, and that was very honored to his mom, that when he talked to his mom that way. "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My hour has not yet come," meaning that I've not begun my ministry yet. His mother said to the servants, now you know how this goes, right? Your mom goes around you and tells you this is how it's going to go down. Just be prepared, okay? And he's not even, just listen to what, right along. His mother said to the servants, "Do you do whatever he tells you," all right? Just do whatever he tells you. Can't you just see that in your family too, right? Do whatever he tells you. He's a pretty smart man there, right? Nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used for the Jews for a ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. That's a lot of water. 6. Do the math on that. Times 3, I think that's 180 gallons, all right? And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet," right? The MC of the wedding. So get that picture in your mind. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine, and he did not realize where it had come from. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew, then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." That's the miracle. I want to talk to you about the peace that goes with this morning. So why did Jesus do this? Let's ask that question of the story I just read you this morning. Because he said, "Woman, my time has not yet come. I'm not ready for this yet," is what he's saying to his mom. And you can about see Mary, she's getting nervous. She's starting to vibrate. "We're out of wine. There's several hundred people here. That's like going to the wedding today in modern times, and you got this buffet of food set out, and half the people have made it through, and the other half haven't even eaten yet. Right? I was at a wedding like that once, by the way, that I experienced that. That did not go well. Here's the point. I think Jesus realized that his relatives were about to be embarrassed. He realized that in this situation, that he could bring peace to a situation that maybe could have gotten a little out of control. Maybe people would have been at each other just a little bit. He recognized it, he seen it, and he moved into action, and he made or turned the water into wine to keep the peace. Contentment. Joy stayed. In fact, so much joy that the master of the ceremony said, "Why did you hold back now? This is the best wine." Mom's happy. The master of the feast is happy. The bride and the groom, they're happy. They're joy-filled. See, peace, well-being. Jesus brings shalom even through his miracles. Go home and read the miracles of Jesus Christ. Look what he does when he heals people. Look how he talks to people. The things that go on around him, he's constantly feeding and bringing peace into people's lives. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. That's a second kind of peace that I want to talk to you about here this morning. Shalom. Now turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Luke 16:22, just a few short verses. Notice the title says that Jesus rejected at Nazareth. I'm going to begin reading at verse 14. Now, I want you to watch the words he uses. I want you to watch what the people do when they respond to the words that he says. All right? And now keep peace in your mind here as we go through this. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, which would have been their churches, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, which I'll let the Bible explain it, where he had been brought up. That was his hometown. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, by the way, which I think is so cool, was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written. And by the way, did you know that when they went to the Torah closet to get the scroll of the prophet, that people stood at their feet and they cheered and they clapped and they were singing praises to God because they got to hear the word of God, right? Someday this congregation is going to do that. I want you to be joyous for the word of God, right? We have it every day here in we take it for granted, don't we? But they didn't back then. They were so joy-filled to hear the word of God. And by the way, they have Jesus standing in their midst. So he unrolled it, and he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Meaning that I am Jesus Christ. I am the Prince of Peace. I have come. And then notice what the people, how they respond. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious word that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. They knew exactly who he was. And now they begin to see that this is Jesus Christ. Now if you read on, the story goes downhill from here. But for a moment, Jesus' words bring peace. They all spoke well of him. So I want you to think about this word peace this morning. It's in his birth, it's in his miracles, and it's in his words. Now I want you to think about the manger just for a moment. Get that picture in your head. I should have maybe had a manger up here this morning. But think about that. You can look on the screen. You see a little bit of a picture there in the outline there on the screen this morning as well. But that manger scene of what that would have been like. Now picture that in your mind. This one, God says, is the Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. His first moments brought peace to all who visited him. His miracles brought peace to all who experienced them. His words brought peace to all who received them. Now I'm going to jump guns, or I'm going to jump here a little bit with you, but I want you to think about this morning, Jesus' life, his ministry. This is the words to his last formal sermon to the people of God. This is what he leaves with them, all right? If you want to know where I'm at, I'm in the book of John, chapter 14. This is what he says. Now, he knows he's going to the cross. His disciples don't have it figured out yet. And this is what he says. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me, he says. Jesus' words to his people. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get rough. You're going to lose hope, but trust in me. And then he rattles off part of his message. We get into verse 27. And I think, do I have that on the screen? I might. Yes, in the blue box. Now notice what he says to the people that are there. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid for what is to come. How many of you get afraid once in a while of life that is thrown at you? Right? Yeah, we all do from time to time, don't we? Hard things come into our lives. Difficult things. But God says, do not be afraid. Now, back to Isaiah chapter 9. You got to stay with me here this morning because we're moving through some pretty good verses here. When it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. I've read that to you the last four Sundays. Now, let me explain that a little bit to you this morning. How can that be? When Isaiah says it, Jesus says it, and we live in this chaotic crap hole of a world today. And that's putting it lightly. What does Jesus mean when he says the increase of his government, there will be peace, it won't end, is what he says to you and I. How can that be? And I have an answer for you this morning. Because we sure don't see peace in our world today. If you're a believer, you're at war with Satan, right? Every day. And so for us to understand that, you have to understand what Jesus said in those final words in his speech in John 14, verse 27, when he said, and I'll read it again, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, I do not give to you as the world gives to you. And here's what he's saying to you and I this morning. He gives a kind of peace that is different than you can get in the world. He's talking about spiritual peace. Peace in your soul, deep down inside, that brings you comfort. Sar Shalom, right? The head of peace. You can only find in him for the things that you go through in this world. And here's the simple thing that I'll make to you this morning. It's a peace that comes from a sense of having God's presence with you, feeling the presence of God always around you, feeling that you are forgiven for the sins that you committed, and knowing that you have salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen to that? That's what the peace of God talks about. Now, here is a simple way. Well, how do I know I have that? If your life is a chaotic mess, you're in distress, you're in upheaval, things aren't going well, you're a mess, you probably don't have the peace of God in your heart. I'm not saying you don't have Jesus. I'm not saying that you're going to go through hard, difficult things you're going to question. I'm not saying that you're not going to doubt from time to time. But if your soul is in turmoil all the time, you haven't found the peace of God that Jesus is trying to tell us about. If life's a mess, you need to find that peace. No matter what happens, you have peace. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean you might not shed some tears for the hard, difficult that things you'll go through, or that you long for it to be different. But God says, I'll give you a peace that the rest of the world will not understand. It won't make any sense to them in your heart. Knowing that in the end, it's going to be okay. It'll be okay. Watch sometime what happens when a person gives their life to Christ. Someone who's far from God. And most people, they're like, oh, I don't believe it. There's no way that person could change like that. And if that's you today, you just haven't experienced enough of God's changing grace. Because I've seen it. I've seen some of the worst people give their life to Christ. And I see a complete 180 in their lives, in their language, in the words that they use, in the way that they live their lives. I mean, totally changed. That's the peace of God. They figured it out. They got it in their life. And those two lives, when they're changed from being without the Savior, without having the peace of God in their life, to figuring it out that they need Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, and the peace that overflows them, that is a stark difference in their lives. The before and after shots are amazing in what God can do. That's the peace that Jesus is talking about. So let me just go a little deeper with you this morning. Is Isaiah 9:7 true? Can we believe it? When it says that his government and peace continue to increase in the world that we live in today, when we see such a messy world, how can that be? What does that look like for you and I when it says that? And so let me just give you the scenario. Christ enters the world in a manger. He grows up to be a young man. He's about 30. He begins to do ministry throughout the earth. Miracles, his words bring peace, all that kind of stuff I just talked to you about. Get that all in your mind here. He starts out as one. And then he invites, what, 12 guys to follow him? He said, come along. Let me show you how to live this life. Let me show you what it's like to live with peace in your life. Let me show you what it's like to let the Spirit lead you and guide you and give you a joy and love and peace and hope for what you're going to live in. And then Jesus leaves and he says, by the way now, disciples, you need to carry this on. And what happened? The church just died right there. What happened, church? 1 to 12 to the book of Acts to today. How many lives have been changed? Has his government, and get this, the government that he's talking about to you and I, people, is the church. He says the church, has it grown from when Jesus arrived? If you were a stockbroker, this would be the best investment you could ever make. Never had a bad year, ever. Did you ever think about that? People continue to give their life to Christ every day in this world. The trajectory is up, never down, all the time. If you want to make a good investment, invest it in Jesus Christ. That's the message today. This is how God predicted Jesus' government would increase. People submit their lives to him. People find the shalom that they're looking for, the well-being, the happiness that's inside. of the things that they're experiencing in this life. So how do we know that Isaiah 9:7 is true? Because I've seen people's lives be changed by Jesus Christ, and so have you. That's how I know it's true. I've seen the miracles, so have you. You've heard his words, and they bring you peace. We experience his birth every year as we celebrate Christmas. It's working, people. God's word is so true today. You know where peace can be found. It can be found in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to wrap this message up here this morning with a pretty powerful set of verses that come out of the book of Isaiah. In the future, Jesus says, book of Revelation, he'll restore the earth, right? He's going to restore nature, the earth that we live on, along with his people, and that he will rule the world, and we'll be, that's heaven one day that he's talking about here, by the way, people. This is what he's saying to you and I, and that peace will return in many ways and in many forms that we get to experience in this life. And I think I got a slide I want to share with you this morning. Here's what he says. This is what you can take home with you today. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6 through 10. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. The young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. And the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy in my mountain, holy mountain that is. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. You know, this whole Advent season is learning about and expecting that Christ is going to come the second time. And when that day comes, there will be peace everywhere. In nature, in the world, in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. That's something to look forward to. Amen? Amen to that. It's hard to believe that even nature will be at peace. And he gets to rule this earth and have full knowledge of it. That's a day that you and I can't wait for. That's Advent. Anticipation of what's to come for you and I. But for now, this is who we follow. This is the power that's within you through the Holy Spirit that guides and directs your life for the world that we live in today. And all God's people said, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may we understand your peace in a new way today. Lord, may your spirit fill us today. Lord, I pray for the soul today that's not at peace, that maybe's filled with turmoil, not sure about who this Jesus is, haven't experienced his peace ever in their lives. Lord, I pray for whoever they are today, that your peace will come into their hearts in a new way. Lord, I pray for those that have experienced the peace of Jesus Christ, and Lord, they follow you as Lord and Savior. May you continue to just speak and to breathe that peace into their lives as they live in this world. Lord, may it be evident in the way that they live. May we show it. Lord, so may you bless your people today. Lord, we thank you for the words of Isaiah some 2,700 years ago, the promises that you gave him to us, that we still get to enjoy those yet today. Lord, we are thankful that you love us and that you would send Jesus to this earth. Lord, bless your people today, in whom I pray. Amen.